What's up, Internet? You're tuned in to episode 52 of Nintendo Noise, Flip Screen Games' weekly Nintendo podcast. I'm your host, Pete and Bessie, joined as always by my very good friends and co-hosts, Mr. Stephen Radford.
Hello, hello.
And Mr. Chewy Plays.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Unfortunately, we made the announcement, right? Sierra's a full-time host of Nintendo Noise. If you didn't catch all the news from our birthday stream that we had this week, go and check the VOD up on today. You can go check out the direct that we made on our current channel, the one that you're on right now, if you're on YouTube. But we also have our new channel, Flip Screen Live, where you can catch all the VODs of our Twitch stuff, and we have the entire stream over there if you want to go watch it, where we announced a couple new things, including that Sierra is a full-time host. We have a new podcast launching this week. Lots of fun stuff. But of course, she's not here. So unfortunately, you know, timing on that one just you know, we're nothing if not timely over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we can blame Nintendo somewhat as well, because we were planning on recording on the Tuesday, and then they obviously announced the Splatoon Direct for the Wednesday. Sierra couldn't make it, unfortunately, but she'll be back next week.
They're all about those Wednesday directs these days.
I know.
Yeah.
It's ruining
Good thing we record on
schedule.
Tuesdays. It's really great. It's really super, super cool and convenient for us that they keep doing that. Make directs come out on Tuesdays. Thank you very much, Nintendo. But anyway, yeah, Sierra will be back next week. So make sure to go give her a warm welcome if you haven't already. Go check out all the announcements we made. We got some cool stuff coming. Thank you to everybody who came and hung out with us. We planned on doing two episodes of Nintendo Noise this week, but instead we basically just did a long freeform podcast where we talked about like Guy Fieri and a lot of other stuff. Guy Ferrari. Steve did an American accent. The rest of us tried to do British accents. It was a really good time. So while you won't get to see Sierra on Nintendo Noise this week, you can go watch that hot nonsense over on Flip Screen Live if you want to go check that out. So
yeah, it's worth it just for the Xenoblade accents that everyone had to do. It was really fun to hear the Xenoblade voices.
We gotta clip out Sierra trying to do that, because that was just one of the funniest things.
Oh, it's already in the Twitch clips on Discord.
There you go. So go check all that stuff out. But we've got a jam-packed episode for you today. Of course, Nintendo dropped the Direct for Splatoon 3. It was a meaty, meaty one. 31, almost 32 minutes long of mostly new Splatoon 3 conversation. We'll talk all about all the stuff, all the new changes coming to the game, our excitement levels, as well as some questions from the rest of you. But before we get into all that, let me remind you that this episode of Nintendo Noise is brought to you by our Patreon producers for the month of August. They are, of course, Christian Oliveria, Christopher Valenz, Gabriel Hasselmeyer, a.k.a. Asobi, Mary Berry, Smoky Shake, Wakahula, and Zaid Ida. Thank you all so much for your support over on patreon.com/flipscreengames. Y'all are real, still the real, and we appreciate your support of this and all of our fine programming. Thank you so much. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of other places you can go and get. If you're not a patron, don't worry. Well, we got you. You get all our content for free when it drops on all the places you get your podcasts, over on the YouTube channels. Of course, we have our brand new YouTube channel. Like I said, Flip Screen Live. Please go and give that a subscribe. Even if you don't watch our stuff on YouTube, even if you know you're going to come to the Twitch stuff live and you're not going to catch it, go give us the sub, because right now, YouTube is not sure if it's a real channel. They won't let me post any links in any of our descriptions. So go help me out. Get those numbers up so that we can put links to our website in our YouTube bio there. That would certainly be helpful. But of course, the place to get links to all of our stuff, flipscreen.games. If you want to find places where you can get involved, you can join our Discord. You can write into the show, questions@flipscreen.games. You can follow us on social media. However you choose to get involved, however you choose to be a part of the community, we thank you for tuning in to this episode of Nintendo Noise. So, I am going to step aside now, because it is Splatoon 3 Conversation Day. And yeah, have I dabbled? Have I attended a Splatfest or two? Sure.
Did you even attend one? Which one was it? Was it ketchup and mayo twice? Did you do that one two times?
I did that one. I also supported Pokemon Blue versus Pokemon Red. I did that one.
You were blue, right?
Yeah, of course. Right. So you know, I've done them here or there, right? I've dabbled. I've splatted. I've mm-hmm. splatted. I've been a squid. I've been a kid. But you know, you two, are like big Splatoon boys. The two biggest Splatoon fans that I know united here on this podcast. So I am gonna just let you guys drive on this one. I'll chime in when I have my little comments, but you guys go ahead and do your Splatoon thing today, all right?
Yeah, really good direct, I thought. But we were talking off mic at the beginning. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's been chucked up on their website on just like an additional blog post. And I felt like they could have got it in if they didn't just teach us what Splatoon was again for the thousandth time.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird that they spent so much time being like, okay, so if you've never played Splatoon, here's how it works. Here's all the game modes. It's like, like, if you wanted to do that for new players, couldn't you have made that, like, a separate video or something?
I mean, I guarantee new players who don't have this save data transfer thing, they're going to have to go through that initial onboarding section that they always do at the beginning of Splatoon games. Like, on Splatoon 2, you have to use gyro controls for the first bit, and you couldn't turn them off until you got through.
And don't turn them off, because you should use them.
I really hope they've changed somewhat in this, and I don't think they will have. I want to be able to use the stick up and down, as well as left and right.
That's fair. But I also don't mind. You should just.
I want them to just remove gyro, so it's no longer the competitive standard.
No, that's the worst option.
I don't want to like move my controller to aim. It's so weird.
Up the sensitivity.
It just, I don't know. It just doesn't feel natural to me.
Really?
It will, if you let yourself get used to it.
Have you not tried it in any game yet? Like, the way I really enjoy it is stick for the big movements and then gyro for the fine corrections that you would traditionally on a PC game have used a mouse for. And I think it works so well.
Is there a way for me to like use a mouse and keyboard with my Switch? Can I do that?
No,
can
it's
I,
like, Splatoon. Can
I... For certain games, I think they added that to Game Builder Garage. You could
Does anyone on the internet have some kind of adapter that I can use a mouse and keyboard?
There are adapters that let you use like Xbox controllers and stuff. So I would imagine any X input device, if you can get like a X input mouse, then it would work.
That'd we'll take the competitive Splatoon world by storm, everyone. We'll all use mouse and keyboard.
But what was your initial impression on it, Chewie? Like, I thought overall it was a solid direct.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Definitely some stuff that's like, okay, yeah, we know. There's been a Splatoon game since year one of the Switch on the Switch. So some of it was just like, all right. I get it. You're trying to hit that lowest common denominator, right? Just whoever absolutely knows nothing about the game, and that's fine. Do that. But as far as like, people have been like kind of confused as to how a second Splatoon game is going to work on a console that already has a Splatoon game. You know, that's. And I think a lot of people went into this feeling like, is there going to be enough new stuff to really differentiate the game at all, you know? And in that sense, it's like, oh man, they're showing all the basic stuff we kind of know. So it started off like, oh, I understand if people are worried kind of right now. But as it went on, I don't know, it seems like they've kind of packed it in with a lot of little extra things that I think will appeal to kind of both audiences, I would say. There's definitely some features I think stood out from the competitive standpoint, and definitely others that stood out from like the casual standpoint. So overall, I thought, yeah, there's a lot of cool new things here. And I think if people haven't played Splatoon yet, they're in for a treat. There's going to be a lot of cool things. But if people are out there itching for more, I think there's going to be plenty of like new stuff to play around with that'll make this game make more sense on the Switch, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I as nice as I think it would be for Nintendo to really go headfirst into the live service game, I feel like this is like they're making good strides here. The whole commitment to 2 years of updates, everything every 3 months, we're going to get new stuff, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Like, it's nice to see them trying. like, you could have just had a single Splatoon game and added all of these updates to it and improved upon it over time. But that's not their business model. That's not what they do. They put out boxed games and people buy them and people pick them up. And I think there's enough here for people who are fans of Splatoon to pick it up and have a really good time. And there's a lot of fan service as well, even in just the stages that they're bringing back. Mm-hmm. Some of the ones that didn't come to Splatoon 2 have made it into Splatoon 3. I'm really excited to play Museum d'Alfonsino and Mahi Mahi Resort for the first time. I've never played this. I never played Splatoon on Wii U. So I was excited to see those.
Yeah, those are some of the actual, probably some of the actual fan favorites from there. I think the community learned its lesson after we got Moray Towers.
Oh, thank God, that's gone.
Splatoon 2. Yes, hopefully we don't ever have to see it again. Nobody actually likes that stage. They memed it into the second game. But yeah, the stages that they did list out are ones that I'm like, yeah, a lot of people play these stages competitively still, at least the ones that are coming from Splatoon 2, like those Inkblot, Sturgeon, Macomart, and Wahoo World. Those are all like very heavily played in the competitive scene. I think Wahoo World gets a little bit more of more hate from that standpoint, but I think personally it's still a great level, so I'm happy with all of those. And then the three returning ones, you're totally right, they're ones that have not been in the game since Splatoon 1, and they're personally the better ones of that game, I think. And there were, they didn't list them in particular, but there are some other stages that are returning from that game. One that was seen was like Flounder Heights. That one's a real popular one. I was terrible at that one. I hated a lot of it, a lot of the time. But maybe I'll like it better this time around.
Is that one coming at launch? Because I know they announced 12 at launch, which we've got, which are the five new ones: Scorch Gorge, Illtel mm-hmm. Alley, Mincemeat Meadowworks, Underton Spillway, and Hagglefish Market. And then obviously the ones we've spoken about: Museum d'Alfonsino, Hammerhead Bridge, Mahi Mahi Resort, Inkblot Art Academy, Sturgeon Shipyard, Mechamot, and Wahoo World are all coming back. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned there's going to be
the
3 post-launch updates, which I guess are the ones that you're talking about that we've possibly seen.
Did they say 3 post-launch updates or free?
Oh, maybe free. I thought that
because
it was
I think
3. It
was free.
It was free.
Yeah,
it was definitely free.
Yeah,
because they said that there would be post-launch updates every 3 months, and then they said that all that content would be free.
Okay,
over 2 years. Yeah, yeah. Yes. So we're looking at like roughly 4 updates a year. So 8 updates
in addition to the. They also said there would be the sizable paid DLC. So yes. It's those updates plus. Who knows mm-hmm. what that timeline is, right?
Because I guess I'd be interested to know if the paid DLC they're planning to have multiplayer stuff in that. Because obviously the paid DLC for Splatoon 1 was just single player, and the ability to play as an Octoling, which looks like it's unlocked at launch on this. That they showed that you could be an Inkling or an Octoling, which was nice. I never bothered to play as an Octoling.
Mm-hmm. My guess is that it's going to be more multiplayer oriented since that stuff's already built in, right? And it's like, I wonder if, and you know, we're going to talk about the 2 year timeline that they threw out at some point later on because we got some questions about it. But I'm wondering where that paid DLC fits in on that timeline, right? Is it like there's mm-hmm. a 2 year free timeline between now and the DLC, and then the DLC comes, and then that kicks off kind of like, you know, Splatoon 3.5, basically,
years 3 and 4 kind of thing. Yeah,
right. Yeah. And then like they can get some additional longevity out of the game rather than having what happened with Splatoon 2, where it came out and it had its couple years of support, and then, you know, it's still out there, people are still playing it, but like,
well, it was really weird. They handled it so poorly, the way they shut that game down. Like, they did the final Splatfest, ended the whole
and then had another thing,
then carried on adding content to the game, and then did another Splatfest, and then was like, oh yeah, there's another Splatoon game coming. And it was just like, this is just really weird. Why did you do that?
They had a lot of final Splatfest. There was like 2-3 different ones. And they just didn't want the game to end, is all.
Which I can understand, because it's obviously a very popular game for them and has done really well.
Yeah.
For sure, and I feel like it's just at you're at a point now with it where it's like, okay, so like how can you avoid that again, right? Like how can you make sure that this game is gonna have longevity? And I think that's the easiest thing, right? Is like putting out a paid update maybe 2 years later and having like a really significant new set of content. It looked like in that image they were teasing Marina and Pearl. So it's like maybe you'll go back to, you know, the some of the like they'll bring back some legacy content.
Yeah, it'd be nice
content.
To go back to Inkopolis, like because we've got some of the stuff from Greater Inkopolis, and they've mentioned that the Hammerhead Bridge links the two areas in like Inkopolis
right.
and Splatland. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you'll be able
That's
to
kind of what
go
I'm thinking.
To see the square again and go back to that.
I think
that
so.
Other area, which would be really
yeah.
cool.
I really think that's what they're teasing with that DLC, and I'm wondering if that'll be like, hey, like every other map or any of the other content that
that'd be really
didn't
cool. Like
it...
have all the Salmon Run maps from that original, like from
yeah.
Splatoon 2. Go get the merch mm-hmm. that was in Splatoon 2 as well, because I would imagine some
right.
of the clothing's not going to be there. Visit Krusty Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just bring back all that legacy content and then maybe add an additional game mode as well, or add some new maps alongside that, because they did say that it was specifically I forget the phrase they used, but it was like content heavy or something like that, right? Like they said that it was going to be a substantial paid DLC.
Yeah, that's the thing, that's the exact word I may used actually.
Substantial
was
okay
substantial,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember them making a point of saying that it was going to be
large scale is what they call it.
Large scale. Okay. Right. So like yeah. that to me implies that it's going to be, or not even implies, it's explicitly stating that it's going to be something meaty. So the idea that it would be something, you know, that does maybe kind of bring a whole other section to the map and
I'd like
back
to see that
cool stuff.
I'd
be
just,
great.
I just worry that it'll be like the Splatoon 1 DLC where it's like, yeah, that was a pretty substantial DLC because it basically added a decent single player mode to the game that because the Splatoon 2 single player was really lackluster. And it looks like the Splatoon 3 single player is basically the Splatoon 2 single player.
It's looking pretty lackluster. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's looking...
I don't think I'm going to touch that with a...
The fact that they said the words that it's going to be a good place for new players to learn the weapons and everything. I was like, great, they're doing it again. Just a crummy single player that's not really... I mean, I don't know. It's just crummy that they are going that route instead of just going like, all right, here's like tutorial short levels for people who've never played. And then here's a real story mode that you can play through. So, yeah, it's a bummer that we're probably going to see that like cool Octo expansion thing happen again in the next DLC. And as far as like timing goes, honestly, I expect them to do it probably like next summer for that. They'll probably...
You think it'll be that early?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't think the Octo expansion stuff was too late in the game's life. And I think once they announced that, they did say they were going to provide some like extra updates beyond what they initially planned with mm-hmm. Splatoon 2. But that's just off of memory.
It came out in 2018. So,
yeah, so it was
a year later. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Oh, yeah. No, that's
2017
right.
would be
right.
Splatoon 2's launch. And then, yeah, 2018, not too long after. So I expect them to kind of follow that same timeline.
Did Splatoon came out in the summer, right?
Yeah, it was a July game.
Yes, it was a July okay. game.
So it's, it, yeah, and this came out in June. So it's like basically exactly.
Yeah, it was a year later, yeah. I think that probably makes sense then. I also think it's a great way to get people to bump up to the expansion pack. I think they'll probably chuck it on that, whatever it'll be. Get people to subscribe to NSO for another year. Because remember, you can't subscribe to the expansion pack monthly. That's locked in for a whole year up front. So we'll probably see it go over there like we did with the Octo expansion for Splatoon mm-hmm. 2. That ended up coming to the expansion pack as well. Which I think is a good thing. I'd like to see more stuff
yeah.
Come to that. But we also, at the top, before we get further into the nitty-gritty, they, like, showed a couple of new techniques, like, really early in the video, like, during the Turf War demo. So there's this new squid surge, which helps you quickly climb up walls, and a squid roll, which allows you to jump and turn at the same time, and, like, when it glows, it will repel enemy ink. So I wonder, I'm not sure how you perform those techniques. Yeah.
They've mentioned these techniques kind of throughout. The squid surge one was in, I think, the very first reveal of it. So we've kind of seen these things. They've kind of mentioned them. This is the first time they named them and told us what they are. But the squid surge, I don't think there was anything that quite did that before. The squid roll feels kind of like the dualies power.
It does,
where
yeah.
You could just, like, quickly get out of the way.
You land and, like, press B and you'd quickly dash out of the way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because dualies, like, in general, have this, like, movement over a lot of weapons in the game that has been annoying. But, I mean, people have worked around it and have been able to play against them pretty well now, but yeah, it just gave them a very clear advantage in terms of movement. So it was really cool to see these. I'm really excited that they're going to be usable in more than just that weapon. And it'll really change, like, how people are traversing each map and just figuring out cool ways to cheese the game in weird ways that we couldn't before. It'll be cool, yeah.
Yeah, we got a whole year or so of balancing updates, I would imagine, before it all gets worked out.
I was kind of laughing because I was like, oh, they're talking about, like, content updates when they talk about, like, this 3-month gaps and stuff, but there will be plenty of, like, just balancing patches throughout every month. I'm sure we'll see a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm sure my favorite gun will probably end up getting nerfed within, like, minutes.
Yeah, Tri-Slosher. I remember Tri-Slosher was the weapon this happened to in Splatoon 2 very early on. The range was incredible on it. It killed in, like, 2 hits, and then you had armor, which armor has consistently stayed a must-have special throughout the entirety of Splatoon 2. So, yeah, that weapon got... it. Literally, teams were playing 3 Tri-Sloshers and, like, 1 other weapon and kicking butt. So, yeah, we'll see a weapon like that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine so. And I imagine it could be one of the new ones. So we saw Stringers, which he's had before, which were the bows. And we've got Splatanas now, which is like a Cantana that you can use.
Those fucking look awesome. Because I remember really liking the paint roller, and Chewie was like, you got to stop with that shit. You got to use the bucket. That's, like, the only good weapon. Like, you got to use something.
I remember him telling you that you just needed to learn how to use the paint roller.
That's also true.
You were just running around with the thing, and you weren't, like, splashing people with it.
And I need to learn how to move is all that I said.
And, well, either, whatever, right? You got me on the bucket, but I like this, because this, I feel like it's got the length that I'm looking for, but also, you do the charge, you get those the nice close range shots. I'm like, okay, I like this. It's a very versatile weapon. This seems like my jam.
Yeah. I it's not for me. I hate charged weapons. I always hated the charger snipers whenever I got given it in Salmon Run. I was just like, oh God, I hate this thing. I never ever use a charged weapon. I just want to run around. Even though my guns have, like, terrible RNG, I just run around with them and I just shoot like crazy.
You gotta learn to swim.
But we got those and all weapons from the previous games are coming over, and that combined with the maps, we got a question from Zaid here, and he says, after hearing that maps and weapons will be returning, do you feel like the game may be releasing half-baked, or are the changes to gameplay modes enough to justify the 3 in the Splatoon title?
I think when Splatoon 2 came out, there were 5 maps. And I do. I think they were all new, if I recall.
Yeah,
but
they,
like,
were. There was nothing that returned.
I think with that game specifically, it just kind of felt like half the maps added throughout were old, and the other half were new. So it kind of felt like, I don't know. I felt like that was a little bit half baked. where I was like, okay, I guess, I mean, there's a lot of reworking that has to be done between the games so the map can come back in the new one. But outside of that, I was like, it's an old map. It's not as cool as what a new map would do. I think the updates were a little bit more frequent in Splatoon 2. I think they were probably like monthly or so.
I don't think they're as extensive as they're promising for this, though, because they are promising like an entire catalog. So it sounds like the old catalog's going to go away. You have a chance to buy all of these items for a limited 3-month period. Then that catalog's gone for good. And you can buy the summer catalog, because she mentioned in the voiceover, like, get it while you can, like, you want to make sure you get everything from the catalog. So I interpreted that as is going. So you want to make sure you get what you can get.
Yeah. Which, oh man, if I've learned anything from Nintendo Switch Sports, it's going to take over my life. I literally still to this day spend way too much time on that game, because every single week there's something going out of commission, and I'm like, great, gotta get these outfits before they're gone. But I mean, we haven't reached the point yet where we're seeing stuff repeat in that game yet. I'm hoping it does eventually repeat. Because I don't know, the day I miss one, I'm gonna be sad. But yeah, I think in general with this, like, we're already starting off the game with like a bunch of modes already unlocked. I think Splatoon 2, when it came out, we didn't have Clam Blitz at launch. That was added later on. We only started with the 5 maps, so having 12 from the get-go is already like a big change that will provide a lot more variety, I think, in the beginnings of the game than people are used to. 3 of those returning maps are ones that haven't been on Splatoon 2, so those will be completely new to this game. So you might as well just say you have like 8 new maps on the Switch, right? So
it feels a lot less half-baked than I feel like Splatoon 2 felt like when it came out. And I
Splatoon
wouldn't have said that about...
really half-baked to me.
Splatoon and 2 like, was bare when it
came like,
out.
I don't necessarily remember feeling that way about it at the time, but I feel like I also didn't play it as much as you two. but like, I think you compare that to this, and this feels a lot more fleshed out. I honestly think the only thing about it that I don't like is between this and the, you know, the like life cycle that they've like actively discussed now before the game is even out, I just can't help but wonder why this is a boxed game. You know, like I feel like they're Splatoon not, should just be a,
it should
like,
just be
and,
Splatoon
like,
live service,
live
Splatoon,
service
like a Fortnite,
game.
Yeah.
They're not ready to take that jump. I don't know. I'm wondering when they will.
And I think you're right that that's the answer, but like, that to me feels like a bad answer. Because it's like, I mean, you look at like every other game in this space that has made this pivot. It's better. It's better for the business, and it's better for the player base that actively wants there to be new stuff to do all the time. And like, I know you guys just said that Splatoon 2 was bare at launch, right? And I know that there's a huge audience of people who play Splatoon every single day, and there's nothing for them to do. They're just doing it because they like the game enough to keep playing, but like, there's no reason to do it anymore, right? There's no season pass, there's no new content, there's no new maps, there's no, you know, there's nothing. It's literally just for the love of the game, which speaks to how good the core gameplay is, but it's like, building the, you know, the free to play
I worry
ecosystem
about
around
free to play thing, like, I really do, because the amount of merch and like consumable things in this, I worry that it would just become too much to be
there. Are so many games that I think Nintendo has that would work really, that would make a lot of money if they were free to play.
And this is one of them.
And so I worry about those games because they're ones I really like. Like, I love Splatoon. I love Animal Crossing. They would make so much money if they just, like, went that route. So,
I mean,
but, like, to some extent,
make
I'm like
an absolute fortune, right, for them?
I feel like when you're talking about something like Animal Crossing, like, I could definitely see the potential of something like that. But it's like, with multiplayer, it's such a proven model at this point, right? Like, there's so many examples of how to do it in a way where it doesn't feel scummy. And like, you know, as much as like we sometimes take Nintendo to task for being a little nickel and dimey. I don't feel like they're like that with DLC. Like, I feel like with DLC, their DLC is generally cheap for how much they give you, right? You think about, like, how much the Mario Kart 8 expansion
yeah,
cost.
That's ridiculous. Like, the deal of the century. Mm-hmm. You get
so
the
much
same
fucking content.
Of maps
literally
again,
doubling
yeah.
the amount of tracks you have for less than half of the price.
Right. And, like, that to me feels good. And it's like, I think if they applied that same level of, like, hey, like, this is going to free-to-play, and, like, there are going to be microtransactions, but, like, you can buy everything with currency that you earn from playing, and you don't feel super limited by that. Like, and yeah, do it in
know,
a way where, like...
They've practically got... I think they must have looked at other games, because I think that's where the three-month season thing comes from. The spring,
it
summer,
literally
autumn,
feels like
winter.
A season... It's, mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like a season pass. Like, it feels exactly like that.
The last night before the direct, I was just like... and it felt confirmed after I saw that they weren't adding League at the very beginning of this. But I was like,
yeah,
I've played Mario Strikers. I know they tried out this season thing with Mario Strikers where they're like, oh, yeah, every week there's a new season of this going on. So you can do as much as possible in that week to get as high as possible. And then just starts over again. And maybe you're higher in the rankings. Maybe you're lower in the rankings next season. But... yeah, I was like, oh, I think they're going to play with that with Splatoon. And lo and behold, I still think they are. They haven't, like, I guess they've kind of said it with the slight mention of seasons happening. But, yeah,
it's,
I don't know.
It's
I think
like,
they're playing with it.
I feel like you look at, like, Fall Guys and, like, the way that they do the free-to-play thing, and I could easily see that working for Splatoon, where it's like, oh, like, I think the only thing that's weird about it is that gear has stats. I think if they changed the way that worked, where like all gear was cosmetic and your
and
stat
the abilities
points,
you could get for just anything. It's like you just pick the ability rather than picking the gear that had the ability on it.
Right.
It kind of is now, though.
Right, because they have that whole thing where you can respec everything anyway.
But they have that anyway with merch, and it still mentioned chunks on ability chunks on it, so I wonder if it works in the same way that it used to, that you have to scrub it and swap it out.
The big change that they made here is that all of the clothing in previous games, the main ability that it had was locked. There were the opportunities to buy that same clothing with different main abilities, but now even that is customizable. Like, you can change that out, and that was never able to be done before. So now, like, all the clothing is truly, like... just clothing. Like, you can just put anything on and eventually swap it all out so it's whatever. So the Fall Guys thing would work.
Like, right.
Like,
why not just do that, right? And like, how easy would it be to be like, okay, like, here's the next season pass, and you've got a month or however, 3 months to do this, and it's 50 levels, and at the last level, you get a Yoshi skin, or you get a Mario skin, or a Zelda skin, or a Link skin. And, like, just do some cool stuff like that, you know? Like we already have that kind of thing baked in to some degree, right? With, like, Splatfests and being like, if you win, you get this piece of merch and this and that. Like, all you have to do is tie some of those things to a season pass that is, like, affordable. And I really feel like that would work so well. And, like, there'd be people who would be resistant to it on some level because it's, like, you are... used to everything just coming a la carte with the game, but like, I don't know, like, don't I feel like it would feel better to spend, there's one every 3 months, and say it's like, I don't know, what, $3 or $5 a season pass, you're spending like maybe
They should be way more than that. They should be like $10 a piece, like they are on most other games.
But say Nintendo is like, oh, we don't want to, you know, like they want to do the whole like, we're giving you more than you're paying for thing. Say it is $10. Like, if you were paying that much to engage with it, but you were getting so much more game out of it and so much more, like, you know, of that, like, active community base and, like, all the stuff that you get with the whole free-to-play, anybody can jump in, anybody can, you know, pick it up and try it. I feel like Splatoon has so much potential to succeed in that space, and it's a bummer that Nintendo... isn't willing to experiment with that model more with one of their...
Well, they kind of have. They're experimenting with it with their mobile games, but I mean, I'm not convinced that they're happy about it at this point. I mean, sure, their mobile mm-hmm. games are far less popular than all of those, but I think Nintendo's always like really careful about those types of moves when they do them, and it's at the point where I'm like, how long are these mobile games even going to keep going? Because they seem to be pulling out of that completely. They're not working on too many new ones.
Is Pikmin Bloom still going? Is that one still up and running?
It still apparently, exists.
Apparently, it got some sort of update like last month.
If they could
month,
keep that going until the end of 2022, that'd be great.
No, I need them to kill it before the end. But yeah, like, I don't know. I guess I just feel like they're not completely convinced with those models. I don't know what they're going for as far as it, but I'm waiting for it. I feel like it should happen. Like, I'm not against it at all.
I would just love for Nintendo to headhunt a couple people from like some key other studios, right? Like maybe some like folks from like I'm looking at like Multiverses and how successful that is in its open beta. The game hasn't even hit 1.0 and it's like the most played fighting game in the world right now. And like mm-hmm. the one of the lead developers on it is somebody who worked on League of Legends at Riot, and it's like you can see and one of the other systems designers worked on Call of Duty, and you can see the DNA of that of those systems and those games in this. And it's like I'm looking at it, and I'm like, why is Smash not like this? Why is Splatoon not like this? Like,
I don't think it comes down to them not having the talent to do it, though. I really don't. I think it comes down to a culture thing, and I can kind of see some like conflicts maybe even within the design of this game, because you see the want to shift to that seasonal model with these 3 month cycles, and you get updates and you get new weapons and new content added to the game, and the shift away from, you know, the weapons now, right? They're not bought with the same currency that they were bought with in the previous game. And if it was a case that you could buy the coins and you could go shopping and buy everything else, buy all the cosmetics with the coins, but the weapons were locked with this new Sheldon license that you could only get by leveling up and getting experience in the game and unlocking the weapons and making sure that, you know, you are of the right level and of the right rank to use that weapon, you could kind of see that working in a free-to-play game as well, because that's the one thing, the weapons, that gives you that advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And maybe, you know... No, sorry, go ahead, Joey.
I'm also remembering a while back, I did read a story that Nintendo did purchase, at least NCL, the Nintendo of Japan, right? They did purchase some land and are working on expanding their development offices. So I don't know, maybe it is something we see in the future from them, now that they, because I mean, that's going to take work. That's going to take like people who are constantly working on the game, and that's going to take away from some of their other projects at the moment. Like, they have other games they want to be working on. They have other ideas and things that they want to come out. So I don't know, maybe they're working on those offices so they do have a team that can be dedicated to games like this and be able to provide those types of service games, because as of right now, I haven't seen them be too Splatoon, I would say, has been the only one that's been successful in that form, whereas like other games like Animal Crossing, the updates just came out really slowly. People weren't feeling like it was coming out as fast as you want them to, and that sort of thing. So
I think part of that was because we were all playing that in the middle of a pandemic, and we were just like, we gobbling it up like we were
at a buffet.
That
was all we were doing, right?
Yeah. we were not spoon feeding that slowly like that game is designed to be played. We were just going all out. I was time skipping and doing like all sorts.
That's true. And maybe Nintendo learned that. Like, yeah, the timing was letting us really take in the game at enormous amounts of time of our days during that point. But maybe Nintendo learned from that. They're like, oh, we're going to need the people and the resources and the power to make those updates come out more quickly for everyone.
Yeah, I feel like part of the benefit of the kind of like free to play like, or just like the, we have a team that's constantly working on this game thing, is like you can respond to popularity, right? And I feel like you look at Animal Crossing, and I bet you Nintendo is kicking themselves that they weren't able to capitalize on that even more, right? And that like they're like, oh my god, we have all these people who are playing and they're activated, and now what, you know? And it's like, it's interesting because like I think that there are a lot of games that just don't fit that model, and like we've seen a lot of single player games try to do the microtransaction thing, try to do some of the free to play stuff, and like we've shown that that doesn't work in single player games for the most part. But with multiplayer games, it really contributes a lot to their success because it just makes them accessible, and people want to spend money on games that they like, right? And like once you get people in the door, like there are always going to be the whales and the rest of the folks that subsidize it for everybody else. And I feel like it would be so great to see them be able to continue to learn from some of those other examples. Cause I think you're right that they are, but it's that glacial speed that Nintendo moves at sometimes. And it's like, man, like I want to see them strike while the iron is hot and make Splatoon a bigger thing than it is, you know?
Yeah,
they also have a lot of online issues they got to figure out too. So that's a whole other conversation.
I think there's arguments either way for like the free to play angle, because they have some of their most successful game is a fully paid game, Mario Kart, and everyone buys it and plays it online, and they buy the DLC. And no one really cares about that going free to play. And if it was free to play like Mario Kart Tour, they could have added more and more tracks more quickly. People would have paid for the tracks like as and when. They could have followed the exact same model they did with Mario Kart Tour as like a full Mario Kart game on Switch.
And yeah, right? Like the game would just have made more money and there would be more content, right? Like not only would they have had a better, more successful product on their hands, we would have 2-3 times as many Mario Kart levels or something, or more characters or whatever, right? And like, who doesn't want that, you know? And I think as long as there's the right balance for a game like that, it really extends the longevity of it, right? And you're not just like, oh yeah, I love Mario Kart, but it came out, you know, imagine if you're somebody who bought it in 2013, right? Like, I've been playing this game for 10 years, like I'm over it, you know? And like, you wouldn't feel that way if they had a new, you know, a new pack of levels and characters every year since it came out. And the game would have made, what, 10 times as much money probably? You know, like, who knows, right? It's interesting to think about. And, like, I hope Chewie's right that they see that and that they are trying to, like, create more teams internally that can support games long-term. And, you know, we know there's, like, that whole thing where they've been relying a lot of, like, on a lot of contract work, and I think it's probably time for them to expand their teams and like find ways to make these games stick around longer so that we're not waiting, you know, 3, 4, 5 years between entries and having long stretches where it's like, hey, Splatoon is hot, but it's not Fortnite. It's not, you know, Apex Legends. It's not one of those games that just sticks around forever unless you're like a diehard Nintendo person. And I think it could compete with a lot of those kinds of games if it wasn't this prestige $60 product that you needed to buy into.
I hope so. It is a big shift for them. But yeah, I think all three of the platform holders have struggled with this big shift to free to play. The other two have obviously bought their way into it by buying Bethesda and Bungie. So they've got those teams to help them in that shift to free to play. But Nintendo don't usually acquire or make big acquisitions in that way. So hopefully Chewie's right and they are building out the teams, because I think Splatoon was a ripe candidate for their first live service game. And it sounds like it sort of is, but it's got a price tag on it. But that was the same way that Destiny was at the beginning. Destiny started
Overwatch
out.
Too, right?
Yeah, Overwatch started like that too.
So maybe it goes to play further down the line, and they do that shift to free to play.
Yeah, maybe there isn't a Splatoon 4, right? And on the next console, we get a platform, and it lives for the whole generation the way that like Smash does, right? Like, why not? It's interesting to think about for sure.
But I want to talk a little bit more detail about Sheldon and his new licenses. How do you feel about the shift to that, Chewie? Because I was actually really happy that you can buy the guns that you really want before he wants to give them to you, because I hated playing the game with that stupid junior splat gun for a while.
I like it, personally, because even in the previous game, it was like every level kind of unlocked a selection of weapons for you, so you couldn't even see like what was coming up next or anything. So eventually, you know, people leveled up pretty quickly and were like, all right, you can get this at this level, so save your money, kids. But I mean, by then you have plenty of money to buy them. But yeah, this system is going to be way better for anybody who like really wants to get a certain weapon or likes playing certain things or really wants to try out like specific weapons too. So I love it. Just the fact that you can buy things ahead of time, you can see them all. That's perfect. That's how it should have worked from the beginning, honestly.
Yeah, I was really happy about it. And I, you know, you mentioned trying weapons out. How did you both feel about the fact that there's something to do in the lobby now? Like there's the test range and you can run around and actually shoot things while you're waiting for people.
Love that. Love the ability to actually make a party. Love the ability to join a friend who's already in matchmaking and just jump into a party with them. Like, unfortunately, I think a lot of these things are things that they're things we shouldn't be excited about. They're things that should have been in Splatoon 2. But hey, I mean, if the worst thing we can say about this game is that it addressed all of the complaints we had about number 2, that's pretty good. You know, like that's a good place to start at least. So I'm really stoked about that.
Yeah, this is stuff that this is how it should have worked, but it's really cool that it's stylized in a way that makes sense for Splatoon and everything.
It was so weird. When they were like, next in the lobby, ghosts, I was like, what the fuck? And then they're just like, oh, it's your online friends, there's 3D holograms, and you can just like join them in a battle, including Turf War. And I was like, what? I can be on the same team as my friend in Turf War, and we can like always be on the same
on
team?
On purpose?
On purpose, and I don't have to be like, right, okay, I'm going in now. Click, 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 go, join. Oh, I didn't make it in time. Okay, you carry on and I'll see you in 3 minutes' time. It's like, it's so infuriating, so frustrating that the only
custom
place you
games
could play
too.
With friends was in, like, League.
Yeah, and, like, the custom games stuff, too, like, makes that a lot easier that you could, like, do, you know, like, if you've got an odd number of friends and you don't want to go online, like, you could, you know, you can make all those little, like, lobbies and everything. Like, again, a thing I think we take for granted in a lot of other games, something that's been around since, like, the Team Fortress 2 days. But, again, it's
You could do the private lobbies in Splatoon 2. That's how they do the tournaments for them. But they have...
Oh, really? And you had this much control?
I believe so, yeah. Mm-hmm. You could, like, go in and choose exactly what you wanted. But they have expanded it somewhat in this one. Like, there's going to be an update coming out further down the line where you can set a keyword, like a hashtag, so we could have hashtag flip screen, and if you search for hashtag flip screen, you could join it, which would be great for when we're streaming this on Twitch and we want people to join us for a 4v4.
This is the
something.
Thing I wish this was in at launch, because since the beginning of time, Splatoon 2 has required you to friend request somebody, like literally add them to your Switch friend list before they can join you, even like in a private battle. So like every playing competitively, every tournament, it was just like, all right, what's your friend code, let me go
that's,
add you
that's
real
not
quick.
Gonna be the case now though, because there's a local connect, right? You can just connect locally, so I would imagine they'll use that.
I mean, there's still gonna be online tournaments though.
Oh yeah.
Like, most of them right now are online. And so for I don't know how long in this game, people are going to be like, all right, what's your friend code? Let me go add you on my Switch. And then, oh, here I am. I've popped up. You can join my room now. And that's how it worked with private battles. Like, literally, you had to do that.
That's so nuts.
You could put a code to the room, but that was literally just so you could keep people who shouldn't be in there out. Yeah, it's always 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 2, 2.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. But I'm really happy to see some of the lobby changes that they've added. You can also send notifications using the new multiplayer notification system that they've added. So it'll like ping you and you can jump straight into the game. And there was a bunch of other stuff they added into the lobby. Like, battle replays look really cool. Like, you'll be able to go back.
It says you can
share and upload them as well. And I really wonder where they go. But being able to see from, like, other people's perspectives when they shoot you in the face and stuff is going
to
be really
cool. I'm sure you can either share them to the app or to Twitter.
It says upload, but it doesn't know, it doesn't say where it uploads to. It's like it's an upload button within the game. It doesn't save it to your console.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine it's going to work the same way as Switch sharing does, though, right?
I don't know, but this is a huge feature for people, specifically like the competitive scene, so people can actually like replay moments and see exactly what happened, where the other team was set up to make that move that beat you last time. And then this is just like, cool, we can actually analyze our footage in a way that's going to make a significant difference to our gameplay and learn something from it. So because right now it's kind of hard to do that. Like, yeah, you can find, hopefully the person you're watching is streaming. You can go and find their perspective of it. But even then, like, that's the only perspective you're going to get. And even with, like, tournaments where how they're streamed is, like, somebody has control of the camera and can, like, swap between characters and stuff. But you're only ever going to see those perspectives, like, the ones they swap between. Like, it's all set. But the fact that you can actually go back and see all of that, that's huge. I don't know. I didn't expect that at all.
No, I didn't either. It was really cool. The one thing I would love is just like an overhead camera where you can like zoom out and see the whole battle from above.
That is one of the views.
Oh, you can do that? That's really cool.
That's one of the views that exists in Splatoon 2. Like when you're a spectator in the game, like you do get a lot of different things. But
I'm sure they need that for tournaments, you know, so that you can like actually view the action.
Yeah. So the spectator view, you get a lot of control there. But like, I don't know, there's even data that I would love to know as far as like how people open up in their matches. Like, oh, where's the area, like the most inked area in a map? Like where are people most likely to be? There's a bunch of little stats that I would love to have access to in the game.
So I bet. So you can camp wonder out if that'll there be and possible. Get a soul.
Yeah.
The other thing in that lobby area is the locker room, which was kind of weird. I was just like, I don't know. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
I was very like confused by it. It's kind of like, what is like the practical application of this? And I guess it's to find friends you played with. And then also there's just like the, you know, I forget the name of this team, but they're also the Animal Crossing team, right? So it's like, oh, there's an opportunity for you to like express yourself and like do this cute little like organization
thing. And
also
like this, you know, started out as a free to play game clearly, and they want to sell you things with microtransactions to customize your locker, which would have been a perfect place to sell you stuff.
Would have been, yeah, would have been.
Yeah, this seems like just a fun little thing. I don't know. As of right now, like, the bulk of the customization for your character has been like you can draw a little picture on Splatoon 2 and that'll show up when people run into you in the plaza area. But yeah, this seems cooler. Seems like you get a lot more that you can show off, but this feels like the little Animal Crossing part where you're like, oh yeah, you can decorate this. Doesn't do much, but it's something.
Yeah,
it's cute. Fine.
It's cute.
There's like a lot of cool stuff like that with the customization. Like they had the whole section on customization with some really cool stuff as well. It's like little stuff, but it's nice. It's nice to be able to feel like you have a little more control over your character.
And those splash tags felt straight out of Animal Crossing. Like you have the title that you can put on it, right? Like whenever you would go to someone's island, it would say like, oh, Pete's arriving and he's like the millionaire islander or whatever it is. And like that would all come up. But it's nice to see that there's like additional stuff going in there. Like you can change the emote that your Inkling or Octoling does at the end, and like you can buy all of this stuff from a brand new shop which is opening. Like if you want to know where you get the items for your locker in the first place, it's at Hotlantis, where you can get like all the stuff for the locker rooms, the splash tags and things.
A lot of Nintendo games are kind of doing that, at least like the little title thing, it's shown up here and there. I personally like it. It's just fun to have a funny name attributed to yourself.
They're really leaning into the dabs in this thing, huh? Jesus. Lots of dabbing.
Oh, God. And another thing that's on the website that was not in the presentation, there's like a gacha element that you can get. You can spend conch shells at the shellac machine and it will, you have like a chance to get like really good items there, or like new splash tags. So I quite like that as well, because I'm a sucker for a gacha. And if it feels as anywhere near as satisfying, you know, the best one, Pete, that I've ever experienced is on Astro's Playroom. Where you pull down that trigger on, on the dual sense and it like pulls down the handle.
Chunk.
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
It's awesome. It's so satisfying, yeah. That was such a fun little thing to do in that game, was like discover like enough coins to get every single one of the little minifigures.
Yeah. Yeah.
No microtransactions either. Just good. Just good, clean fun.
Yeah, that was like a fully free game. It was awesome. The table turf battle confused me. Like,
the card game thing?
Yeah, like, this would be a really cool real life thing. Like, I would love these packs of cards I can collect, like I can do with Animal Crossing cards. And, like, maybe that's where it started, and then they added it into the game.
Yeah, I mean, and it might go there eventually, you know. Don't get it twisted. I'm sure that they want that. I mean, think about, it's like, to me, this reminded me a lot of Gwent. From The Witcher, where it started just as like an in-game card game, and then now it's like a legit game and it's its own spinoff. And I think it's a good idea, you know. Like I'm interested in it. I like the idea of having something else to do, maybe while you're like waiting for your friends to hop on, right? Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, I'm streaming and like, you know, I'm waiting for you guys to grab your Switches and get in a lobby, so I do a round of this or something or what. Like I could see how this adds another thing to just keep you in the loop, and I'm into that, and I like card games, you know.
I like this because this is something that existed in Splatoon 1 and is kind of hidden in Splatoon 2, but Splatoon 1, because it was on the Wii U, you had the gamepad and everything. While you were waiting for a match to start, there were three different like mini game things that you would play on the gamepad itself. And one was like a little, I forget what they called it, like squid jump or something, but you'd basically just be going up platforms as high as you can go. And, you know, if you fell, you'd fall into the water and you'd have to start over again, right? So basically that. And then another one was a rhythm game that you could play. And I forget what the third one was, but I know there was a third one. But this feels like, oh, the team's kind of playing with that. I think Splatoon 2 only had the rhythm game, and it was really like, I think there's an arcade machine in the plaza, and that's how you access it. Not really something you can do while you're waiting for your match to start.
No, the only thing you can do while you're waiting for the match to start is play with the music by like touching all the buttons and the sticks and things.
That's it. But yeah, this I like that they came up with like a new little game that you can play, and just the fact that there's like actual packs that you can get and cards that you can collect for that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do it.
Definitely another thing that's like primed for a free to play kind of thing as well.
Yeah,
or a mobile game. That would have been a perfect like Splatoon mobile game.
Thank you for saying that, Steve. I'm going to use that as an opportunity to jump into this question from one of our Patreon supporters, Asobi, who wrote in and said, do you think that Nintendo will continue with Splatoon as it is now, or go down a more Mario-esque route with it, with maybe some spin-offs and a main game once a generation? I feel like Splatoon has so much potential visually and design-wise for spin-offs. I feel like this is their first attempt at that, personally. Right, like this is the first extension of the Splatoon brand to anything that isn't Splatoon the game. And you could easily see this become a mobile game. You could easily see this become a spinoff where it comes out on the eShop and it's its own little thing. Who knows, right? Like, the sky's the limit, I think. And maybe they're not thinking about it that way, but I feel like this to me shows that the thought is there, at least, whether or not they follow through on it, you know?
Yeah, this reminds me of like the conversation we had a couple weeks ago about like what games were Nintendo's top kind of games? Like, what are the Nintendo's top five games? And I do think Nintendo views it this way. I kind of made this argument in the Discord recently, but like, if you look at the Splatoon Japanese Twitter account, it is wild. How many more likes and like interactions those posts get than like the rest of Nintendo. If you look at those numbers, they're just like triple, quadruple the amount of what anything Nintendo of America posts at any given time. And
it's all about that ratio. They're just looking at it all day long, and they're just like, this is the reason our franchise is A tier.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. I think the game is looked at by Nintendo as, like, a big thing. I think we're probably going to start to see spinoffs for it come out, and I'm sure they're out there messing with it in some way, so.
I hope so. Just the universe itself, like, they've put so much time and effort. There's, like, six brands of clothing. There's, like, brands for the weapons, there's like all of this, all the visual stuff that Asobi mentioned. Like, I love being in that world. And if we could be in that world and not playing rounds of Turf War or Clan Blitz or whatever, and just be playing a different type of game, like this new Turf War card game, I think that would be really cool.
So I want to, before we get back to more of the direct stuff, we have two other questions that build off this one well. Before we get too much further away from it, because I don't think we'll probably end up talking about this angle of it too much longer, I want to pull this question from Sierra, a.k.a. Tamarwolf, from the community, who wrote it and said, what are y'all's thoughts on the updates happening for 2 years after release and what it means for the Switch life cycle and next Switch model? So I think we've talked a good amount about like how we feel about the actual... the timeline itself, but I think tying this to like Asobi's question in terms of like, do we see that mattering next generation, right? Like, do we think Splatoon could make the jump to be a more platform oriented title similar to a Smash, where we get one a generation and it gets supported the entire time?
What about one every two generations, like a Mario Kart? Like, maybe it becomes You know what? I think that's when it becomes the free to play thing. That's when it becomes that, and it's just you playing Splatoon. I think tying this back to what Sierra was saying, I don't think there's gonna be a next generation. I think the next Switch is just gonna be the next Switch, and every game that plays on this Switch plays on the next Switch. And all of your content moves over, and it's just a more powerful or better model in some way. And so I don't think they really care that in 2 years we're probably going to have a new Switch by that point. I think we're probably going to get a new Switch announced within the next 12 months. And we already know there's Mario Kart levels being released all the way up to the end of next year.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the next Switch is... I think Nintendo's looking at the Switch and saying, like, yep, we got it. We nailed it for this. There's no reason to change for now. Probably just make it stronger, iterate maybe slightly. But I don't know. I think, yeah, we're probably looking at the next gen of Nintendo console with the Switch just continuing. And I think that's great. I think that's great for them. I love it personally because I like... that I was away for like a month this summer and I could just play my Switch wherever. It didn't matter that I was gone. Whereas I was thinking the whole time, I was like, man, I should have canceled Game Pass for the month because I wasn't here.
All right. So before we move off this question block, there is another one here that you mentioned, Chewy, right? It was a couple weeks ago. We had been talking about the top five Nintendo franchises and kind of like what is that S tier, right, of the cream of the crop. And there was a whole dialogue in the Discord after that about how Splatoon should be on that list. And you were going back and forth with a couple members of the community. One Up Mango definitely made like a very strong case for it in the Discord with a ton of really cool context. I do want to just pull this comment here. If you want to go see the whole thing, go check. It's in the hashtag Nintendo Noise channel in our Discord. And Mango said, I would argue that Nintendo Switch Online will not be an obstacle at all to Splatoon 3's success, because all Nintendo needs to do is iterate on what Splatoon 2 did, and I have no doubt in my mind it's going to sell at least 12 to 14 million copies if they just practically make Splatoon 2, but better. Prior to the launch of Nintendo Switch Online, Splatoon 2 had already sold 7.47 million copies.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, I think selling 7.47 million copies is an argument against, like, Switch, like what Mango's trying to put forward, because those 7.47 million copies, you didn't have to have online, and like, you didn't pay for it, you just played the game, right? So if you've got to pay for the subscription and pay for the $60 game, you know, those two things alone, that's $120 of your hard-earned money gone if you're buying the expansion pack.
And then the DLC, right?
Yeah. And then the DLC come in if that's not
in
the expansion
pack. If you have the expansion
pack,
then that's like it comes out in the wash. But
it's a big ask for people. But we don't know the exact numbers on Switch Online, I don't think. But I would imagine they're pretty high. And so I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. I still think that Splatoon is one of those top tier franchises. I just don't know what we would knock off to make it a top five, which is why it didn't make the list. But I think you could put it in there and say it's probably number six after everything that we mentioned.
Yeah, I could see it there for sure, if not in the five.
It's in the 10, right, for sure.
Oh, hands down in the 10. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know how well Splatoon 3 will perform with a Splatoon 2. I imagine it'll do fine, but I also kind of think it'll probably be better for Switch Online than Switch Online will be for Splatoon 3. You know, like, because you need
people
it.
Are
you need it to play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People will resub again if they haven't been on it for a while. And I'm sure this game will get like a bunch of new players. It'll definitely get a bunch of returning players. I think a lot of people who play competitively are already switching over to Splatoon 3. They're going to be playing that game, but
some of them before the rest of us.
Invitation. Some of them. Yeah. I should mention, I've seen tweets from some of the people who've been doing well in those. They had no idea, or they're lying, or on top of the other thing, I could see Nintendo doing this where they're like, they've reached out to specific players about this, and they probably can't say anything. So I'm assuming, I don't know.
They did the same thing for Smash, right? They did the Smash Invitational. I think that was at E3. This one's at PAX West on September 5th. Being live streamed over on Twitch. I'm interested to see that. We had a question from Trendy Brendy about that as well, didn't we, Pete?
Oh, yeah.
We did. Brendy wrote in and said, has Mr. Chewy Plays ever been to an in-person Splatoon event? I've only been to one for Smash and a few Pokemon ones, and I'm wondering if it's a similar culture. Pokemon is a good mix of friendly folks and quiet folks, where I'd say Smash is closer to that fighting game community style where light trash talk is expected and you make bets and money matches on like every game. Is Splatoon somewhere in the middle?
I honestly don't know. I haven't been to one, an in-person event. I have a friend who's like gone to one of them. I think he was planning on going to one that's upcoming as of right now. It sounded like he had a lot of fun, though. It did sound like, I don't know, there's definitely like people who are kind of on the quiet end of the community, you know, and some that are more outgoing. So it sounded like a mix as far as that goes. But for him, he was also commentating during it. He was playing and commentating. So yeah, overall, he said it was just like a really fun experience to be there in person. Like, I don't know, there's just an energy to it. And I could tell when he was commentating too that I was like, oh man, he's like way into it right now. So it was cool overall.
I've been to the UK finals for the Nintendo put on for the Splatoon Championships, and it was so much fun. I obviously didn't compete because I'm terrible at this game, but you could either go and like you could enter there, or you were already qualified. But the energy, like, of the people spectating, like, watching it, was really fun. Like, there was all ages there. It was really, like, family friendly. It was really cool. It was a really great energy. And everyone was, like, super into it. Like, everyone was like, oh, like, cheering, or like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened, when, like, things happened in the game. It was really great. I had such a good time.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'd love to go.
You should go to PAX West. That's, like, not far away, right?
It's doable for me. Yeah, I was actually, after they announced that this morning, I was like, all right, I'll look into tickets. I'll see what I can do.
That would be cool if you went and, like, reported back. I'd be interested to see how you liked it.
You're hosting, don't forget.
Get to the next thing. Forgot about that. Yeah. Sorry. So the other modes they've got, we see a return of, like, the ranked mode. They've renamed it Anarchy Battles. And we're getting Splat Zones, Tower Control, Rainmaker, and Clam Blitz. There's some information about it, but basically that you can play as, like, solo, or you can play with friends in the same way that you could on Splatoon 2, right? And there's some more info about, like, ranks on the website. But, and what was more interesting to me was some of the new modes that they announced that aren't in at launch. Like, we've got a new X battle mode for X rank players, which I imagine you'll be very interested about, Chewy. And League battles not there at launch, which I thought was a bit weird.
Yeah, we mentioned it briefly, but I'm imagining that they are definitely, like, reworking League and how that works, because as of right now, with the Anarchy battles, there's one that seems to be, like, the base ranked mode, or whatever the new ranked mode is. That I think they're calling that Anarchy Battle Series, right? Yeah. So that one, single player, or at least you're going into it alone. You can't team up with anybody. Very briefly, they showed the text for it that said, like, win 5 battles before you lose 3, right? Like, so that's the challenge that you have when you go and play that. I imagine that'll, you know, obviously play a role into how the ranked system works and how that all goes. And then beyond that, they do have the Anarchy Battle Open, which seems to be, like, a casual ranked mode, which was kind of what they did with League in Splatoon 2, where it was like, yeah, you get, like, points and stuff for playing in this league and things, but it really didn't matter. It rotated every 2 hours, points reset and everything, so it was very short term. So, yeah, it seems like with this game in particular, they're probably reworking what they envision for League and what it's going to do and how it works. So I'm excited to see what they do with that. So yeah, it may sound like something's missing at launch, but to me, I'm like, oh yeah, it seems like they've just renamed things a bit, and maybe that new mode is going to be something completely new or different.
I think you're probably right, because reading on their website, it kind of feels like they've merged League and rank, because I kind of forgot how League worked until you just reminded me. So it says Splatsville is also home to rank up battles, which you do in Anarchy Battle Series, and you have to put some points on the line. So you get 3 wins before 3 losses to successfully rank up, which is out of the 5, right? But losing doesn't cost you the rank. It just costs you some points. So you keep your chin up, though, which is very different how it worked in Splatoon 2. Like, you had that orange thing that you filled up, and it would get cracks in it. And if it got a certain number of cracks, then it would break. And if it went below, like, a threshold on it, you would go down a rank. Whereas this way, you won't ever go down a rank. You'll just lose some points, so it'll chip away at you being ranking up to the next rank.
Yeah. Well, I kind of don't know how it'll work. I think I'll have to see it. It's not making sense to me, because I feel like people need to be able to de-rank, because that's kind of the problem I feel that ranked has at the moment, where it seems like if you play long enough, if everybody plays long enough, they'll eventually funnel their way into X rank.
Well, I don't think they will, because they also have on the website that they are going to be resetting ranks every 3 months.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Every 3 months, the ranks will be adjusted. So it looks like X is not in the game currently. It goes S and then all the way up to S plus 50. And then eventually, I imagine X will make it into the game when they add the X battle. But it said that it will reset at least somewhat. So if you were at S plus 50, you'll go down to like an S plus 30 and you have to work up again. And I hope that they is balanced out a little bit better. But yeah, once you get into like a certain rank on ranked battles, it's quite difficult to get like knocked all the way back down. So I can understand the frustration of wanting deranking in there. Pete, are you ever going to get to a B minus, do you think? Because me and Chewy sounds like our save data is getting pulled over.
We're already going to be there.
I'm going to have to work for it, I think, you know? But I'll tell you what, I'm going to work for it, you know? I'm ready. I'm ready to really put in the hard work, I think, to get to B minus. So.
It sounds like it might not be necessary, though, because there's also the Anarchy Battles Open, which is essentially just an open lobby. I just don't know if you have to be the same rank in order to play it. That wasn't clear from the presentation. But it'd be really cool if the four of us, us three and Sierra, could play a ranked battle so we can actually play some modes other than Turf War for once. Because I think you'd really enjoy some of the stuff. Like, I don't know if you played it, but like Clan Blitz is my favorite, and Tower Control I think you'd like.
Yeah, I am excited to get into some of those, and just I like the idea that we'll be able to like have a squad of four and just get in a lobby and play together. Like, I think those things will immediately make me more likely to play the game.
Yeah.
They'll be way better.
Two other big things I want to touch on. Like, there's some small bits that we can talk about if you want. Like, the fact that saving like fits, they call them now, is like not locked to amiibo.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. So you have like different loadouts essentially. There's like a photo mode and some other bits and pieces and Splatnet
3s. And for some reason, they decided to still make the amiibo do that.
Yeah, it was really weird. The new amiibo looked great, but yeah,
they should have a different functionality now. They're useless. Like,
Well, you can take a picture with them now in the
photo mode.
The lobby. Great. I was like, okay, yeah, that's
definitely worth it.
They are cool, but I like amiibo. Yeah,
not a standout feature that anyone needs anymore. But Salmon Run, we got some new updates on Salmon Run, some new bosses that were shown, and we also got a look at like King Salmonids for the first time, I believe, which really changes up things. So when you near the end of a job, a King Salmonid might randomly appear, and then you've got to fire the golden eggs you've collected from the backpack on your back and like shoot them at the King Salmonid to try and knock it away.
Yeah, they do more damage, I think.
Yeah, so you got to do a lot of damage. There's a time limit, and then they'll go away. And we also got a glimpse at a new mode called Big Run, which it looks like it's going to be on rotation in the same way that Splatfests are. It said it happens every few months like a Splatfest, and the Salmonids are going to invade the city.
And I love that. That seems like such a fun idea. I think that's going to be really cool.
It seems really cool that they've, like, I feel like they're going to have a lot of potential with like changing which city they're attacking and stuff, because they pointed out, oh, this bridge connects these two parts of the city. So I think they're going to have fun with like those invasions in particular, because as of right now, like, we haven't really been able to splat up the main city part. You're always like weaponless in those areas, and I'm like, yeah, just let us ink this place up. I want to see how far I can climb up on these buildings and stuff like that. So,
and like, I could see it being a fun thing in the way that like seasonal events in Animal Crossing are, where you're like, oh right, like it's Bunny Day, so there's all these damn eggs everywhere, and it's like a moment, right? And like, I love the idea of being like, oh, I went to get on to play some Splatoon, and oh no, like the city's under attack, everybody jump on right now. Like, this is a moment you want to be a part of, because it only happens once a month or whatever, right? Like, I like that. Like, that's a good way to incentivize people to jump in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, for sure. The Splatfests are returning. We saw the new hosts, so Pearl and Marina are gone. They're back, I guess, at Inkopolis. And we've got a new band, a new musical trio called Deep Cut, of Fry, Shiver, and Big Man. They do the news bulletins, but huge news. You don't have to watch them. They're like hidden behind clicking the L stick.
Good.
So you can
jump straight in and not have to listen to a word they have to say. Like one of the big pain points of that game. That plus the fact that you can play with friends in Turf War without having to do the stupid like, oh, quick, jump in now. The two biggest quality of life improvements I think they added to this game.
They're literally my favorite idols for that fact alone, that they don't just give us another 10-minute wait time to get to actually playing the game. Love it.
Also, I love Big Man.
Big Man's great.
Oh, yeah, he's
Big
so
Man
cool.
rules.
Big Man love all around.
We love Big Man. Also, I loved, I don't know if y'all saw this like on Twitter, where people were talking about, is it Fry? Yeah, Fry's the one with the super big forehead. And everyone was joking about how everybody like would complain about how I think it was Marina had the big forehead. They're like, nah, they went even harder this time. Fantastic.
I haven't seen that. That's funny. But they told us all about the new Splatfests. So they've changed things up a little bit because there's now three teams you can pick from rather than just the two that was in Splatoon 2. The first half of the Splatfest is a 4v4 turf war battle like it was normally, just two teams. But then the second half, it turns into three teams vying at the same time. There's one leading team in the center of the stage, and then two players from each of the other teams are kind of working together to try and take over the lead in the middle and knock out the currently winning team. So I really liked it as a concept. I thought it was really cool. I'm interested to see. The first one is going up on the 27th of August, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, which is the Splatfest world premiere. It's like their test fire that they usually do. And it's rock, paper, scissors is the theme.
Yeah. I'm pumped for this. This is the first time in a long time I've been pumped for Splatfest, but mostly it's for that change where the teams are, I guess it's going to be 12 people, right? They've always been like 8 players.
It still is 8. It's 8. 4 from the winning and then 2 and 2.
Two and two, yeah. It's really weird.
Man, but that's not going to be fair. I don't know.
It's cool, though. The two
work together to try and knock out the team in the middle. They've got to like get rid of the what do they call it? The ultra signal from the center of the stage where the currently winning team is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We're gonna have to play it to find out. But I would imagine it's balanced and feels okay. I trust them.
It's the end of this month. Pretty close.
I'm excited. I like that. I think that's a really interesting, different way to go about it, and like it feels like a meaningful change. And I think that's one of the things that, like, to take it back to Zaid's question earlier about, like, you know, does the game feel half-baked? I think no, right? Like, I think, like, there is a lot that's actually new, and they've addressed a lot of the common complaints, and I feel like they've actually, you know, tried to iterate where they could, and I think there's a lot to be excited for here, and that's definitely one of the highlights. I mean, we'll see how it plays out when we actually get our tentacles on it, as it were. But I feel like that feels significantly new and fresh in a way that excites me.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that I think feels new and fresh. Like, it depends what angle you go from. Like, Chewie was obviously really excited about the battle replays. There's that new card game that's in there. There's all the quality of life improvements, like the loadouts, the new lobby changes, the changes to Salmon Run with like the big run and the King Salmonids. They added a lot to this game, I think. And that plus combined with the 12 maps at launch, 8 of them which are probably going to be completely new to the majority of Splatoon players unless they played on the Wii U. I think there's enough here for everyone. I left this presentation super excited. I was already really excited about Splatoon 3, but I was kind of apprehensive a little bit because we hadn't really heard anything. We didn't really know what the game was going to include, and they just laid all their cards on the table.
Yeah. They did so much. I'm pumped. I think it feels like they've figured out kind of the structure of Splatoon with Splatoon 2, like, really solidified it. And with this one, I think they just, like, played around with it a lot to tweak it, make it better. And hopefully it comes out to just, like, a really good package for us. It lets us easily connect to each other, lets us easily, like, just play the game. I don't know. There's so many little things here that I'm like, sweet, this is so much better than it was before. There was a lot of downtime, surprisingly, in Splatoon, where you're like, all right, logging in, got to watch all this news. Now I'm in this lobby, just, you know, twiddling my thumbs to change the music because that's the only thing. But now you're like, cool, I'm waiting for my match to start. I can look at all this different stuff going on. I mean, I'm hoping that ups the quality of, like, the matchmaking as well. Because that's another issue where once you get to a certain level in X rank, I mean, I'm hardly there. I'm at the low levels of X rank. But, like, for the people who are, like, really high up there, it's really, like, there's only risk involved when they play. Where they're like, oh, when I finish this match, I get plus 0 points or plus 1 points. But if I lose, I'm, like, minus 40, you know?
Yeah.
So... yeah, I don't know. The quality just needs to be improved in that sense, where it's people can go into lobbies that they will actually benefit from instead of just, like, take a big hit to their score.
Yeah. Where do you land on it, Pia? You're picking this up day one anyway, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because we talked about it a little bit earlier about how this game, I feel like this direct, I didn't know who it was for, because as somebody who already likes Splatoon, I was already interested in Splatoon 3, and a lot of what they showed, I was like, cool, this is great new stuff. I'm very excited about this. I'm engaged. But then they also, like, explained how the game works, and I'm like, oh, all right, I didn't need all this. So I hit a point about halfway through this where I was like 15 minutes in. I'm like, I don't really need to watch any more of this. Like, I'm already excited for this game, and this feels like, for the fans like you guys who are noticing all the little minutiae, I feel like there's so much here where, like, if I was, like, a diehard fucking Splatoon person, I think I would have been like, this is an incredible direct. But as somebody who is more casual, I was kind of like, oh, like, they got so in the weeds, but also were giving me, like, the 101. And I'm like, these two vibes are creating friction for me. So, like, I don't feel more excited necessarily after this, but I'm very, very ready to jump into this game day one and play with y'all. And I think it's going to be a ton of fun. And I think, like you said earlier, like, the quality of life stuff is the name of the game for me. The fact that they took all the really weird, like, obtuse decisions that turned me off from playing the game in a more active way. I feel like now that those are kind of out of the way, I feel like I'm going to be way more inclined to be like, oh, like, I'm online and I see Steve's ghost, I see Chewie's ghost, whatever, right? Like, let's jump into a match, right? Like, and then, like, shoot you a message on Discord, right? And be like, oh, let's hop on and play a couple games. Like, that's what I'm looking for, you know? Like, I need it to be as easy as it's been for me to jump into, you know, multiverses these last couple of weeks and rattle off a couple matches with whoever my friend is that's online, right? Like, that's the experience I want from Splatoon 2. I want it to be a regular part of my digest. And for it to do that, it's got to just make it easier to play. And I feel like if you can say anything about the changes they've made here on Splatoon 3, it seems like they've made it easier to play. So I'm very excited by that. I think this game's going to have some real juice in the back half of the year. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Here's hoping I hit B-.
I hope that.
Doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, doesn't matter anymore. You could just play with us.
I wonder when they feel like they don't have to explain the game anymore. Because can you imagine watching a Pokemon Direct and they just explain what Pokemon are and, like, how you catch them and...
Here's how Pokemon battles work, right?
Like, you'd be like, what the fuck? Why are you telling me this? Like, there's been 1,000 of these things. I know.
Yeah. Never. Cool. Well, they're going to always explain it.
Well, I'm handing the keys back to you, Pete, to land the plane. I guess the sticks. Here you go. Land the plane for me.
All right. Thanks, buddy. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this week's episode of Nintendo Noise, a Splatoon podcast. If you guys are excited for Splatoon 3, make sure you write in and let us know what you thought about today's Direct, where your hype levels are at, and if you are going to be jumping on day one to play with us, because you know we're ready. We're hyped for this one. So, come be a part of the community. You know, get your links. They're at flipscreen.games. Come find our Discord. Come right into the show. Come be a part of one of our Twitch streams. Remember, if like I said at the top, Sierra will be back next week, full-time host. Show her some love. Go check out the new YouTube channel, Flipscreen Live. We'll have a link to it in the description down below. Go subscribe. And flipscreen.games to find links to all the other places that you got to find us on the web. Of course, you know, Patreon support if you want to go above and beyond. You know, we appreciate you, all that good stuff. You know the drill by this point. So, for the crew, I've been Pete. He's been Chewy. He's been Steve. We'll see you next week, Squid Kids.